Thank you for visiting ChristopherMedia.net.
Christopher Media, let's make some noise. Welcome to Beer Nuts, a weekly excursion into the world of craft beer, brought to you by MichiganBeerGuide.com. And now, here are the Beer Nuts.
Okay, welcome everybody to another exciting episode of Beer Nuts. I believe this is episode number 129. We're going to drink local tonight. That's the theme of tonight's episode. And short staff tonight. We've got three beer nuts, but three good beer nuts. And this is JR here in Sierra Vista, Arizona, my new home. I just relocated to Michigan. So my last untapped beer that I checked in was the Devil's Invention. It's an American stout from Four Hands Brewing Company. It was a coffee stout, and it was quite tasty. And I got to thank Lieutenant Dang. He was unfortunately not able to be with us tonight, but I met up with him on my trip to Arizona on my vacation, and he gifted me this beer. So thank you, Lieutenant Dang. It was a great beer. Let's move on to Dearborn.
Yeah. Hey, this is Greg here in Dearborn, Michigan. My last untapped check-in was Living in Our Own Private Idaho from Fat Orange Cap Brewing Company out of East Hampton, Connecticut. Picked it up locally. It's a New England-style IPA. It was pretty darn good.
Yeah, I just came across some Fat Orange Cat, you know, and I was browsing online. I saw that brewery. I thought it was pretty cool.
Yeah, pretty good stuff.
Okay, Uncle Pete here from Rockwood, Michigan. My last untapped was actually one of my own homebrews, Uncle Pete's three-way porter, the toast and coconut version. So I think I only have like two of those left, so I'm savoring them. But yeah, we're all nuts here, three good beer nuts, and looking forward to drinking local tonight.
Amen.
Amen. Well, we kind of gave up on the quotes, but every now and then we find one that we don't think we've used before, so I found one this week that I wanted to share with everybody, and it's a short one, but a sweet one. It's, quote, "There is nothing in the world like the first taste of beer," John Steinbeck. So let's salute to John Steinbeck, and we'll go right into inviting everybody listening to please join us in a libation. We would love to you to partake with us, and again, reiterate that there's room for everybody on our show and at our table. We're not pretentious beer snobs. We just want to introduce more good people to more good beer.
So, let's drink.
Let's drink. So tonight's episode, Drink Local. Full disclosure, this episode was recorded a few weeks ago, but it was lost forever with a technical difficulty. The episode didn't record other than the first 6 minutes. But so we're recreating it tonight. Unfortunately, we had a few more beer nuts on the last one.
We'll keep it fondly in our memory.
So I am going to start the festivities off with having just moved to Arizona. I'm a newbie down here. I'm getting acclimated, but I did discover a really world-class brewery within 20 miles of where I'm staying in Sierra Vista. And most people will recognize the town that this brewery is from the movies. And it is the Tombstone Brewing Company in the infamous Tombstone, Arizona, home of the OK Corral and Wyatt Earp, Doc Holliday, et al. So, but let's move right on to the beer. My family and I spent the day in Tombstone the other day, and I made it a point to make the brewery the last stop. And was able to get one really good beer in before and got some cans to go. So I'm going to start off with a fresh hop. It's all the hops, double IPA from Tombstone Brewing Company. Good. We got a late arrival, CV from LA, maybe joining us. Let's look into that. The show must go on. We'll see if we can fight them in here. As soon as I'm done with, if somebody can message him and tell him, but I'll be with him shortly to add him to the call. But I'm too thirsty just to drop what I'm doing right now. So I just poured this, and it's a unbelievably great appearance. It looks just like, very similar to M43, our old Michigan New England IPA. This is a nice, hazy, juicy hops. It's got that really nice orange hue to it. and a nice creamy head on the top that doesn't go away. It's lingering well. So I got a good quarter inch to half inch head on this beer. And man, the aroma is just unbelievably good, man. Mango, pineapple, tropical fruits. And, you know, just looking at this beer, it reminds me of that orange juice look, the nice hazy, you know, bright orange, really, really pops the color. The appearance is unbelievable. And so is the nose. So I'm going to take a sip here. And, oh, man, this is it's right up there with Boss Swede. It reminds me very much. I've had their regular IPA, got a four-pack of those, and it really reminded me of M43. Maybe a little bit more bitter on the regular IPA and a little bit more mango fruity flavor. But this one, pretty close, really close. It really reminds me. I'm so glad because, you know, I was almost jonesing for, you know, some M43 or some Boss Swede, and this fits the bill. I mean, it's right up there in quality with those.
Drink your OJ. Yeah,
really, really smooth. It is. It's a nice, I mean, people in these parts have raved about the brewery, and I can see why. It's and I'm really lucky because there's not really a whole lot of breweries within, you know, like a half hour drive here. You know, Tucson's about 70 miles to the north, so that's a good hour at least. And there's several breweries up there, but there's a brewery near me called Old Bisbee. Bisbee's probably about a half hour drive, so.
Been to
nothing
that
really in Sierra Vista proper here. So, those of you who want to check on the map, Sierra Vista is not too far from the border with Mexico. So, but we are very delighted to discover this brewery in Tombstone, and their IPAs are you know really really top notch. You know,
the Arizona beer guys in town, man. The new sheriff.
Yeah. Well, we're having to rebrand that because Uncle Pete's going to take over Michigan Beer Guy, and I'm going to start up Arizona Beer Guy.
There's a new sheriff in town.
Yeah, so speaking of the sheriff, you know, you go through Tombstone, you got the, you know, actors dressed up in the streets, you know, like the old Wyatt Earp-looking costumes with the sheriff badges, and it's a really cool little town to visit and a nice tourist attraction, but for me, it's going to be the home of my local brewery because it is, I believe, the closest local brewery to me. So it's perfect for this episode. And I'm really fortunate to, you know, I only have one brewery here and it's a home run brewery.
How do you know those guys are putting on an act? I mean, they just probably came out of the brewery, ran out of beer or something? What?
No, they were down on the main drag. The brewery, they got the brewery tucked in like the very last corner of the town, which is good because
you ought to convince them to do one of their public acts, like at the brewery, like they just had a brawl in there and they come pouring out into the street and start shooting.
Well, you know, it's a little pretty laid back here. It's like the old West. We went to the brewery and I got there and it was three or four people waiting to get served. And the gentleman behind the bar told me, you know, be patient. I'll get to you as soon as I can. And I'm like, no problem. And so finally he got served me, and I said, you know, keep it open. I'm going to get a couple, you know, some beer to go. And so then I told my family, hey, I'll just have one beer. I know that, you know, the family's waiting at the table, kind of moping. You know, we've been in the town all day, and, you know, the kids and the wife really have no interest in the brewery or the beer. And that was kind of like my little thing. So they were patient to allow me to have one beer. I discovered a real gem. It was a oak fermented Imperial Stout, aged in Calvados barrels, which is apple brandy, and it was a really fantastic beer. And so I discovered they had some bottles of that and some other things. And later in the show, I'll cap things off with another treat. I won't spoil the surprise, but you know they had great beers, not only on tap but available for purchase to go. And so really looking forward to my next visit there, and I think it's going to be a regular stop, probably a weekly stock up there. Haven't really found much in the way of bottle shops. Or there's one little local Hop and Grapes, it's called, a little beer and wine shop. It's only open like Wednesday, Thursday, Friday, Saturday, so I might give them a look. I think they might have some good taps in there. And I know up in Tucson, I've been told there's a good beer bar there called Captain Cork.
Yep, I've been there, Jay. I was just going to tell you that one. I was there in September. It's awesome. Yep, great little place. A lot of selections.
But if anybody makes it to Southern Arizona, even if you're just in Tucson, make the drive out to Tombstone. Great tourist attraction. A lot of history there. A lot of great stuff to see. And not only that, you can reward yourself with a couple of great beers. Top-notch brewery, really. Like, I'd give these guys a 95 out of 100. They're that good. So really happy to share these with you guys. And I'm sure you're thirsty, too. So any more comments on this? Pete, have you been here on your travels?
Yeah. Definitely, yes. I haven't been to the Tombstone Brewery. I don't know how I missed it. I guess I knew it was there, but I was on a family outing as well. But we did go to Bisbee, and I went to the Bisbee Brewery and a couple of breweries in Tucson. So, you know, I dig it. I mean, it's not like a highly populated region that you're in down there. So it's great that there's these small local breweries that aren't really, you know, have a huge distribution, huge footprint. I mean, certainly within the state. And nearby, but I thought they made some great beers in the desert. I was pleasantly surprised.
Amen. Same here. So Pete's parents live in Tucson, so looking forward to next time he visits his folks. We'll have to rendezvous and hit a few of these locals, including Tombstone. So I look forward to that, Pete.
I miss you too. You might check in with my folks. Go over there for me, and maybe you'll get adopted, you know.
Well, my folks are far away. My mom's in Oregon and my dad's in Louisiana, so I could maybe use a little nurturing.
we got enough in common, buddy. I'll tell you that much. Just brothers from a different mother.
I hear you. So that's my local beer, Tombstone Brewing. Again, everybody, come down to Southern Arizona. You'll make this a destination. You will not be disappointed. So I'm going to send it back up to Michigan to Greg.
Oh, my turn. All right, number two here. All right, so mine that I picked up today is from City Built Brewing Company out of Grand Rapids, Michigan. So local to us, obviously, in the state of Michigan. This is their Besitos de Fresa, which is a
translation
is a kiss of strawberry. So this is their chocolate strawberry milk stout. It also has lactose. 16-ounce can. 10.6 ABV, so pretty hefty. Nice wrapped can here. Pretty cool graphics on there. I don't know how long City Built's been around, but it seems like we're just recently starting to see some distribution around here of them. So I don't know, JR, Pete, you guys heard about them maybe more than I have. But
yeah, I have. I think they opened maybe 2-3 years ago. Okay. I know in Grand Rapids they have some great food. I believe the owner is a Hispanic or maybe Puerto Rican, Edwin Palazzo.
Yeah, really good guy. Puerto Rican, yeah. In fact, it says it on the can.
I've been told that their food is outstanding. It's in I believe it's in somewhere in the Grand Rapids area. They're in the brewery.
I think it's downtown actually. So definitely on my list to go visit. So
absolutely. So it's great to hear that they're now making their and the packaged beer available throughout the state.
So a little bit more on my beer here. She pours very dark. Had a nice little khaki tight impact bubbles, but are disappearing quickly because it's 10.6. We're getting a little bit of lacing on the glasses here. Pretty, very pretty beer. So get a nice smell out of this thing. I got a little bit too much on my lip as I smell, but it's a lot of strawberries. I mean, this is like a jammy strawberry smell to it. Maybe a little hint of chocolate as well. You get that little creaminess from the lactose as well. So time to take a little sip here. Oh, yeah, more of the same. Maybe a medium mouth coating type feel. Get a lot of that strawberry. Wow, that is really a prevalent character to this beer. The chocolate is mute, but wow, this is really delicious. This is my first time having it. What else can I say? I mean, this is really good.
Who doesn't like chocolate covered strawberries?
That's right. And I've seen there's a candy of Hispanic, I don't know if it's Puerto Rican or whatever, but it's got the same name, so I don't know if they took inspiration off of it.
Probably, yeah.
I saw that earlier. But, boy, this is a great offering from these guys. It's probably my third beer I've had from them. They do make a fantastic Berliner Weiss. That also has lactose, and they had black currants and blackberries, something like that. That was fantastic. And I think a straight IPA I had for our New England IPA from them, and they've all been solid beers. So I'm definitely looking, forward to more stuff from City Belt. So
I'm glad the strawberry is prevalent for you. I mean, I made a beer once, a stout, and I dumped some strawberries in, sliced them up, and whatever. And I tell you, it must take a boatload of strawberries to really get the flavor to come through, because I didn't put nearly enough in my small batch.
And they're definitely getting it. So I don't know if they're using a strawberry extract or they were actually using, it doesn't really say, but they're definitely getting it through. So
as long as it's not corn syrup.
No, that's for sure, right? We don't like corn syrup.
Say no to CS.
That's right.
ChristopherMedia.net. ChristopherMedia.net.
So I guess mine's all taken care of. Pete, are you? You're next.
Okay, as long as we're all taken care of, I'm going to take care of myself here. Thanks, Greg. All right, guys, I'm going to share the Barbaric Yop from Black Rocks Brewing in Marquette, Michigan. And, boy, it's got a picture of a guy on there. Who is that? I mean, he looks like a real wizard. Maybe that's what I'm going to look like when I get old. You ever seen those things on Facebook? Oh, what will you look like? You know,
that's pretty comparable, but side by side here is
what right. That's what so anyway, this is it's funny. The website says it's an 8% ABV Scotch ale, wee heavy style, but the can on the bottom says 11%. So it must be somewhere in that area between 8 and 11. But I think it's going to be something close to Backwoods Bastard, possibly. But this particular beer from Black Rocks was aged in three different spirits barrels and then blended together, like multiple batches of this Scotch ale. And then probably some says here aged in rum barrel, some of it aged in rye, and some in bourbon barrels. And then they took the three and made a blend. So I don't know what that's going to do to it. It sounds a little complex, but sometimes maybe it's a straightforward barrel will come through without being able to pick out any one of the three. So anyway, let's get pouring, let's get drinking, and less talking. Like Elvis, a little less conversation and a little more action. All right, I got to look at the light. Go towards the light. Man, this is a beautiful, got the very dark copper, even leaning towards brown color to it. Very nice, beautiful color. I mean, with a light behind it, it's just like a gem, the brilliance. Just an off-white head, very well-held-up head. Mmm. Boy, it smells bready, caramely, malty. Mmm, definitely getting oak, sweet wood aromas. Mmm, boy, oh boy, that smells really sweet, like brown sugar and molasses. I'm not kidding, guys. There's everything in here. And I mean, when you get, and I let this warm up to room temp, basically, which is about 65 degrees down here. So, I mean, it's probably cooler than that. I did have it in the fridge earlier. But anyway, the aromas are really blossomed. Mmm. Oh, that's fantastic. It's immediately malty, followed by a strong sweetness and a barrel influence, like just a very rich, oaky, woody, sweet, caramely, vanilla barrel influence. I know I'm going all over the map, guys, but I'm serious. I can't stop because this is a bit of a hot beer. It's not balanced that well between the malt and the alcohol. So I had nice strong malt up front, but then a pretty good burn at the end. Yeah, this one's kind of complicated, and it is rather fresh. I think it was canned just two and a half months ago at the end of November. And Black Rocks, smaller brewery, well-known in Michigan. It's in the Upper Peninsula. in the town of Marquette, right on the shores of beautiful Great Lake Superior. Mm-hmm. And I tell you, it's worth a visit. I know we've talked about Black Rock many times in the past, but the Barbaric Yop Scotch Ale Wee Heavy, aged in rum, rye, and bourbon barrels. Very interesting. Very interesting beer. Worth a try.
Sounds like a great beer to warm up on a nice cold night that we're experiencing around here, Pete.
Yeah, sure. I see. I got my blanket wrapped around me, and I have a space heater right next to me here. And I'm a little chilly tonight.
We're Arizona dreaming, and John's living it.
Yeah.
That's a warmer upper. I remember you were with me, Pete, when I bought a couple cans of that.
Yeah. So
that was a warmer upper. I remember that one.
Yeah, it's a winner. All right.
Feeling pretty good. As you would say, I got a glow on after a can of that.
I'm going to be having a glow. I hope so. But, yeah, I wish I had something more local to my proximity where I live in Southeast Michigan. There are several good breweries out there that, you know, we wished, you know, Greg and I are from the same region. You know, Salt Springs Brewery and Saline, Original Gravity and Milan. Of course, we've got Detroit with, you know, Batch and such. So, you know, there are great local ones. I didn't have any in my cellar to dig out, but this one I thought was a good choice and all around a good beer, but I think it might need to sit for a while and kind of come together.
Sounds delicious.
Yeah, it's good. It's a great beer. I'm not saying anything on the downside, but it'll certainly change over time. I'm sure of it if you cellar it. I'd like to put it.
It'd be interesting to see what in 6 months. Yeah, for sure, it would taste like compared to what you reviewed today. So,
it is somewhat similar, basically, to Backwoods Bastard, but I think it doesn't come close to it as far as the in one regard as far as the body. I think Backwoods Bastard's a little smoother and kind of a more melded, even flavor profile than this one. Being interesting to put next to it.
Just wanted to add a couple things. Number one, I think you get a pass on making this a local beer since it's from the Upper Peninsula and you attended college up there at Michigan Tech, right?
Yeah. Yeah, I mean, Marquette is one of the larger communities in the Upper Peninsula. But even at that, it's still comparatively a small community in the state of Michigan. So they service, you know, with a few breweries up there, Ordock, you know, Black Rocks and Marquette. They're making great beers. Maybe it's the Great Lakes water. I don't know. Or it could be a spring water up there.
Then you got Upper Hand, which is the offshoot of Bell's in the UP.
Yeah, that's right.
That's
yep. Yeah, there's plenty on the map if you ever get a chance.
What's the Sioux? The Sioux Brewery?
Sioux Brewery, yep, right next to the Sioux Locks.
Yep.
It's too many.
Well, all right, man, I think I sent you something about Michigan Tech, didn't I? All the snow they got, they had like, okay, it was going up to the top of people's doors and stuff. It got nuts up there.
Yeah, I saw some pictures. Keweenaw Brewing Company right in downtown Houghton, they had just shoveled out because there was a lot of wind. You know, the wind blew through the other day, and then they drifted. You know, all the snow they already had, a couple hundred inches. And when they dug out from the brewery, I mean, it was at least 5-6 feet deep. I mean, you had to shovel or snow blow and throw the stuff up over your head. I mean, seriously, you got to go online and look at some of these pictures of the snow up there.
How did they do it?
Well, I don't know. I'm happy to be out of that snow and, you know, we got a good surprise here. Steve V is joining us from L.A., and I know there's no snow there. So, Steve, welcome.
All right. Hey, Steve.
How's everybody today?
Awesome.
Steve, how are you?
Good. So, since you missed the intro, why don't you, I don't know if you have a untapped beer for us. If not, just maybe throw out your last beer that you might have had, or just go right into this.
Yeah, my last untapped I had was Elysian. From up in Washington.
Yeah.
I had their Space Dust.
Oh, yeah. Classic.
Had a couple of those on Saturday night. It's very good. It's always nice beer to spend an evening with.
Yeah.
I saw some online social media stuff. You were having a few beers with our buddy Curtis.
Yes.
Mr. Quagmire?
Mr. Quagmire.
So good to see you guys getting together, and I look forward to being a part of that plan at some point soon, next few months.
Yeah, well, let's...
take it away, Steve. Let's take it to L.A.
Okay. And, the beer I chose this week from a local brewery, it's from Boomtown. They're located down in the Arts District. They've been around for about 4 years now. They just celebrated earlier this month their 4-year anniversary. They have a really, really good selection all the way up from the top of their, you know, white ales down to, you know, their stouts. And the beer I chose today is a Pilsner, and it's called the Mick Check. And and it's kind of like they describe it as being part of both worlds, you know, the Czech Republic and Northern Germany. And so it has like a malt profile, and it's rounded and bready, like a Bohemian style, but then ends clean and dry like a German ale. I've had this beer many times, and it's always a good selection. Pouring out, it gets a nice, good head to it initially. It's very light in color. It's very clear. You can see through it pretty good. Smell-wise, like I said, it has that good malty pilsner that you like to enjoy. Very smooth all the way through. Reminds you of like a lot of those older beers, you know, from back in the day, Olympia, something like that, but just a little more refined.
Holy.
Like I said, something you can drink, you know, like that you drank plenty of times, and it's always good to go back to. Has that familiar taste.
Is there size hops in that?
It kind of has like a subtle flowery aroma, but it's not very bitter. It doesn't have that bitter taste to it. So okay. It's the balance of it's really, it's really, really good.
Is it any Czech style hops? That's usually the preferred hop for that. I'm just wondering.
They don't put out which of the hops they use.
I suspect they're probably in there just because it says Czech on it, but there's no guarantee. But, you know, I love, I know lagers and pilsners are making a comeback, and if I could have one style, it would be a Czech pils. I really love that size hops. You know, I just love the character that brings. And, you know, a lot of people say, oh, that's just a kind of a boring fizzy yellow beer. But I think there's a lot more depth to especially the Czechs. I remember... You know, back in the day, 30 years ago when I was in college, how much I loved a Pilsner Kill. And still today is probably one of the standards for Czech Pils, even though it's a mass-produced big brand. It's if you get a fresh Pilsner Kill, I mean, it's hard to top that. I mean, that's a benchmark for the style. So that sounds like a great beer to, you know, that you could pound on like a tailgating day or a day when you know, a long day where you don't want to just have a couple heavy hitters.
And it's one of their beers they have year round. And I'm starting to see a lot more liquor stores, you know, the ones that'll sell some craft beers and stuff. So it's nice to see them making a getting out there and distributing their beer a little bit more.
I love, it seems to me, you know, in the not too recent past and currently and as we go forward, there's a lot of breweries turning more now to the Pilsners and these styles. You know, there's a lot of revisiting. And then there's all these people trying to get into, you know, lower calorie beers, low carb beers, whatever. I know, Greg. He's like, forget about it.
I said nothing.
But I love the Pilsners. I love the Pilsners. Pilsner Urquell. I love the Bohemian Pilsners, you know, that they make here at Brew Detroit for Stroh's. So, you know, great style. I think we've done them in the past. We had a Pilsner Lager episode, if I recall, but it's been a while. Might be worth a revisit.
Yeah. Well, and, you know, you'll remember last summer. My beer of last summer was El Ligero from Griffin Claw, the Mexican lager with the lime in it.
Yeah.
I love stuff. I was crushing those last summer.
I think and they then, just canned Brewer it.
They just canned it. That's right.
Brewer Detroit had a Cerveza Del Rey, a Mexican-style lager that was tasty. So yeah, that's a style that, you know, when the weather gets warm, they're crushable, and you can drink a few of them and not be falling over. You know, there's a, you know, when you're at home and it's a cold night out, you want to hit a something heavy. But when, you know, that L.A. weather, that's a great beer you produce for that nice, warm L.A. weather.
Steve. Yeah.
Well, I mean, warm is a relative term. I mean, us in L.A.,
if it gets
to the 60s, that's cold for us. So,
ooh,
but I'm sure that's a short service for you guys.
I got my blanket.
I was delighted to hit 70 today here in Arizona. So I think back, what is it back there in Michigan, guys, about 20?
22.
Okay. I think it was just under 20 here, yeah. Oh, that's good enough for me.
Well, you know what? We've all had one beer. I think a couple of us have a second one, but I'd just like to go around the horn again and let's just talk about some beers, some local breweries that maybe we didn't get a chance to mention. And I'm going to defer because I'm a newbie here in Arizona and I don't have too much local knowledge. So I'm going to go off of my Michigan stuff. And before I pass it on to Greg, I'm going to just say that Batch Brewing in Detroit was one of my favorites. Highly recommended. They're doing some great stuff there, and their chef is just unbelievable. So to eat there, I mean, I think their bread pudding, which is a kind of a eclectic dessert option, won some huge award in like the best of Detroit. But the chef there is like a 5-star chef, and you don't see that very often in a brewery. Urban Rest is another one that I enjoyed, and Sellerman's makes beer, mead, and ciders. So, of course, you know, I got a lot of new discoveries come with local beers, local breweries here in Arizona. So I'll pass it on to Greg for his thoughts on his local beers, local breweries that we may not have had a chance to enjoy on the show tonight.
Well, you know, one that comes to mind is, and I always love going there, is Holmes in Ann Arbor. It's kind of local, I guess, if you want to count 30 miles away. In fact, they're having a nice can release this Saturday, so expect me there. You know, a couple other ones that come to mind, Ascension Brewing Company out of, is it Novi or South Lyon, something like that. Witch's Hat, Drafting Table. I mean, all fantastic breweries. They're doing great jobs. I mean, even here in Dearborn, Downey and Dearborn Brewing Company, I mean, they're putting out some great stuff, and I've found them at local taps, and you know, you can't complain about that. So, Pete, what about you?
Griffin Claw.
Griffin Claw, sure, right?
Yeah, Griffin Claw. They're really, I think, they make some great beers, and they've just done a whole update with a lot of repackaging, rebranding. It appears to me. It looks great, and the beers that are in these packages are just fantastic. I did mention a couple earlier, Salt Springs Brewery in Saline, Michigan, which also, by the way, JR, when you talk about food, I mean the food there is just off the hook. We have a friend that JR and I had a mutual friend that actually was able to brew some of his recipes there. And also Original Gravity Brewing in Milan is nearby. And Greg, boy, you mentioned a lot of good ones.
Sorry to steal thunder, but...
No, it's fine. But there is a new one going to be opening in Temperance, Michigan, which is just about a mile or two north of the Toledo, or the Ohio and Michigan state line, just north of Toledo. And it's called Pavlov's, and I think they open March 12th. So looking forward to going down to that one and help them get a start and see how it's looking.
ChristopherMedia.net. ChristopherMedia.net.
All right, let's go to L.A., Steve. Any of your local breweries you'd like to mention or give a shout-out?
Oh, there's so many. It's, you know, like it says, you go outside and you can just go in any direction and you'll be at one in no time. You have like Arts District Brewing. They open up a new one at Imperial Western Beer Company over at the Union Station. That's, you know, and that's a really great building, and the Art Deco, and you go in there and have some great beers and look around. Iron Triangle, you know, a lot of these breweries opening up in these old business areas that were, you know, once run down, and they're taking over and doing some good stuff in there and really good beer, not just, you know, bringing, you know, helping the economy and use the property, but I mean, they're like some really good stuff. So, and that's just here locally and you know, the way LA is set up, I mean, it's just a, you know, 20-minute drive here in South Bay, and then there's a whole new collection of breweries down there, you know, like Absolution and Smog City and Three Weavers, and I mean, it's nuts as far as out here as so many little branches and little pockets of breweries that are opening up, and like I said, they're all really good stuff. It's exciting to see the craft expanding so well.
Well, as much as I'm happy to have found Tombstone, I'm jealous because you guys, you know, if you know Arizona, I know Pete does, you know, you got like a city and then a whole lot of nothing and then like a little town and a whole lot of nothing. So you guys have access to a lot more than I do, but, you know, the hunt is part of the fun is the hunt, right? And I'm going to find them all. So, you know, just one more thing to mention about drinking local. You know, it's better for the environment. You drink local. We did that big episode on independent craft brewers, supporting the independent craft brewers. When you buy beer from a local brewery, the local brewery gets all the profit versus when they go through the distribution, you know, the retailer gets a cut, the distributor gets a cut. So you're really helping out your local brewers by stopping by and, you know, have a couple pints and then get some beer to go, and it really helps their bottom line, helps them stay afloat. And, you know, we gotta just raise our glass to all the local independent brewers. So cheers to our local breweries and everybody who brews, works in the tap rooms. You know, we need you all. We need you.
Boy, it takes a lot. You know, when you think about it, it does take a lot to run one of those establishments.
Oh yeah. And, you know, you got to put a lot on the line to, you know, to open up an establishment. So I'm going to go ahead and move on to my final beer of the evening, for me anyway. Steve, you might have an extra one. Again, Tombstone Brewing, I have what's here is this is the Barrel Society, which I believe is their club. Fortunately, I guess there was some extra. But it's an oak fermented old ale aged in toasted oak barrels with maple. And I love the address of the brewery, 102 East Toughnut Street. So I guess there's a lot of tough nuts there, but I'm going to go ahead and dive into this.
Who knew?
Probably a lot of them buried there, too.
So for those of you listening, we just started doing a little video where we can see each other. So I'm going to hold this up for the other beer nuts to see the appearance.
Ooh.
Nice, you know, it's not, you can barely see through it. It's a dark brown to, it almost looks like a double or, but it's an old ale. So it's very dark, but it's more brown than black.
Sounds like it's 8 o'clock.
Light through it.
We'll say some nice, of the
nice carbonation on this. The head does not completely disappear. There's a thin film of a nice cola looking head on the top. Oh man, it smells good too. Smelling some fruit on there, like the dark fruited, like raisin type. Maybe a little maple. Of course, I have the clue that it's there was maple added to it. So let's go ahead and take a sip. Mouth, really nice mouthfeel. Not too thick, not too thin, just right. Not too sweet, but enough sweetness. A lot of complexity here. It almost tastes like a Belgian beer. You know, you got that Belgian double complexity to it with, you know, some dark fruits, some raisins.
Who's the standard of old ales around here in Michigan? I'm just out of curious. Is it Kunin or Bell's?
Curmudgeon has an old ale.
Yeah, Third Coast from Bell's.
Okay. I would say this is not as sweet as those. It's more, I know it's probably not meant to be. I think there's a lot of the oak characteristics coming through in this. I'm tasting a little bit of vanilla, a little bit of wood in there. Oak fermented old ale. Let me pull, I had their, just pull this up on Facebook here. So it says for the description of this, okay, here it is, oak fermented. Oh, it's got everything but that one. It's, okay, here's the bottle. Let's sit there. Oh, come on. Okay, here it is. Oak fermented old ale aged in toasted oak barrels with maple old ale. This malty old ale features intensely earthy oak and maple wood as well as hints of vanilla and dark fruit. And yeah, that's what I get. I get the vanilla. You know, there's a lot of wood in this. That's where you get the vanilla, but then you get that dark fruit and the complex. It honestly really reminds me of a Belgian double, even though it's not really that. But, you know, you get that nice maple on the end. It's really a lovely beer. And, you know, the other one I had the other day was even more spectacular than this. It was the Calvados aged Imperial Stout. They also had a rum barrel aged one that I haven't got to try. So on my next visit, if they still have some of that, I'll be looking for that. But, you know, that, these guys are known, Tombstone's known for their hazy, juicy IPAs, which I shared earlier, the double. But it's nice to know that, you know, these gems are available too. You know, nice, you know, they're doing a barrel aging program. And all I can tell you is, I can't wait for my next visit there because everything I've ever had there has been delicious. And, you know, there's still a lot for me to try from these guys. So as a newbie, you know, I'm really pleased that I have at least this to go to, you know, because I have a feeling it's a craft beer desert out here. No pun intended, or maybe fun intended.
Nah.
So I wish I could share this with you guys, but
pass it through the camera. Yeah, I'll grab it.
So for those of you on the broadcast, so last week we started experimenting with doing our Skype with the video, so we can now see each other and hold the beers up. So it's kind of cool that, you know, we can actually show everybody else the appearance of this. And people get even more salivating when they see the beer that you're describing and wish they could enjoy it. And gosh, my only wish is I could pour some into the computer and you could all get a taste of it, because it's a delicious beer.
That technology
beer.
Must be on the way.
And the beer is the only pretty part about this, isn't it?
I can't agree more with you there.
Yeah.
So, Steve, you have another beer to share with us?
I do. This beer is from San Fernando Brewing Company, and like I mentioned, how there's pockets. You know, you go up to the valley, which is, you know, 20 some miles north of downtown area, and you know, you got, you know, McLeod Brewery and Brew Yard and all these other breweries out there that are doing some good stuff. But this one I have, it's called the Grapefruits of Wrath. It's a India Pale Ale. On the can, it's described as a true IPA. Dry hop with citrus hops that complement the unique grapefruit flavors. They are prominent throughout each taste. The flavor notes are a perfect blend of sweet and bitter flavors that transition into a substantial hop profile that satisfies an IPA lover's need for floral flavors. Light, easy drinking, and refreshing. Like I said, I remember I tried this at one of our beer fests and fell in love with it. It was so refreshing. And they suggest that you can kind of mix these if you were, you know, the other day you were talking about mixing your beers and stuff. But this would be one of those beers where you can kind of mix with some different alcohols and add some other little flavors to it and have a really nice little cocktail going.
Sounds like a future episode topic.
Yeah. So this is the can for it. And like I said, you pour it, it's kind of dark, not very clear, but you can still see through it. Right away, you can smell the grapefruit in it. Very tasty, not strong like a Sculpin IPA. You know, we usually get that bite. This one's really smooth all the way through. One of the things that's also described as is that they add the grapefruit to the post fermentation part of it, so kind of you really taste the grapefruit part of it. It's not it's, you know, doesn't get diluted and changed a little bit as it goes through. So it's, I think that's the key to it. And
is it like the acidic grapefruit juice, or is it the bitter pith skin of the grapefruit?
It's very tasty, like a ruby red.
Yeah. Okay. That sounds good.
Yeah. Not like the yellow grapefruit. Very, very good beer. Very, like I said, very tasty. I can see adding, you know, some vodka to this and maybe like a squirt or something, some kind of soda. I think that'd be a great little drink for
them. There you go. Now we're That's a mixology right there. That's science, man. Let's do that for science. Yeah.
Very good. Very good stuff.
Like I said, I think that's a great, I think Dugout might have brought this up already. Let's have an episode on those, combinations where you pour two beers together and make something, a better beer out of two different ones.
Not just two beers, but even spirits. I mean, I know there's cocktails out there that utilize craft beer in them. There's got to be tons of ideas out there.
Yeah, the Shorts gin and tonic beer.
It could like foray into a new horizon for the beer nuts.
What was the hobo's
the mixed nuts?
It was the hobo's breath. I think it was Rye Hipster and what was the other one? Was it KBS? KBS and Rye Hipster, I think.
Oh yeah. Well, yeah. There's a lot of two beer mixes.
And there's a really good. That's what I was talking about, like Cuvée and like two beers together. And there was the one with Blushing Monk. Both that we did at the Oak Cafe, the Flushing Monk and Cafe Death. We call it the Flushing Death or something. Oh, no, it's Death Star. It was Death Star.
We did it. Monk. Cuvée, I think that was episode in the 80s or 90s, episode 80s.
We did this?
Yeah, we did a Cuvée mix one.
Let's do it again.
I know. It never runs out.
So speaking of that, just to all you guys, let's and our listeners, we're on Twitter at Beer Nuts Podcast. Send us ideas for episodes. We're looking for new exciting topics that maybe we haven't explored before, or maybe just to revisit an old one that we haven't done in a long time. Because with 129 episodes and over about 3 years, maybe it's time to start repeating.
Or send us beers from your local breweries.
Yeah.
Hey, we can do that.
Second that.
Reach out to us. Instant message us. We are more than willing to evaluate your products. So bring them on.
Yeah. Absolutely.
All right. Any hipster news to discuss? Or are we ready for Mexico City yet? Which is much closer to me now.
Well, it's not in the news. I wish it was. Otherwise, I'd probably be on a yacht in the Caribbean if this was in the news. But my last homebrew session last weekend, I made my Imperial Stout basic recipe. That's my Robert de Habanero base, but without the vanilla, chocolate, and habanero. But I did wanted to do an Imperial Stout to bottle for the next holiday season in 2019. And 2.5 gallons will go and sit on Four Roses bourbon soaked toasted oak chips for a couple weeks, and 2.5 gallons will just be a regular Imperial that'll go into the bottle. So those will be sitting quietly in the cellar all summer and fall and wait until Thanksgiving and Christmas.
And then
I'll be looking for a Christmas gift from you.
Yes, sir.
Drink.
Might have to bring one out personally.
I did mention, earlier Holmes is having a release Saturday out in Ann Arbor, so they're having their Guava Sherbet. Sherbet is being released. New double dry hopped IPA called Stratum with Michigan or MI Copper and Citra. So that sounds fantastic. And their sour IPA Metaform with peach added to it. So
should be
a pretty delicious release.
John loves the guava beers.
I sure do. Yeah, that's my beer fruit for sure. Anything with guava in it, I'm all in.
And they do a great job with that guava sherbet.
CZ, anything happening out in L.A. anytime soon? Any news to report or releases?
Well, by the time this gets put out, I think the following week, there's the field trip down Docent Brewery down like in San Juan Capistrano. They're doing their I guess they're starting a, I think it's their second one, where it's kind of like a barbecue slash brew fest, and they got a lot of the southern county, so Orange County and San Diego County breweries will be there. So looking forward to going to that cool. Tasting their stuff.
Yeah, I got to get, you know, a Southern Cal beer tour is on my bucket list still. I've done, I've been up north a little bit, but never down the south part, to, at least for beer. I've been to the south part a lot, but I might mention.
I can tell you, go ahead. I'm going to be going to Southern Cal.
Oh, yeah. It's close.
Pretty soon here.
JR, I might. Oh, go ahead.
Go ahead. Nope.
No, I was going to mention this weekend. No, what's the date? Oh, sorry. The weekend of March 8th, I think it is. Is that a Friday? Founders is releasing KBS.
Oh, yeah.
Which I have my ticket for. So I'm going to go down and get my allotment. Me you too. All right,
yes,
Greg.
And man, I'll be there. I'm depressed. I'm going to be missing that.
Yeah, well, I'll have extra. I'll send you some. But I do have a couple of years of collection of that, so I'll be able to do a vertical here soon, which will be fun.
We'll have to plan a meet down date, Pete. And,
we should. I'll get in touch.
Since we got a couple and of ounce pours each, yeah.
I did manage to secure about 12 to 15 cases of for my cellar, which is about a third of what I had. I have some KBS and I have a lot of Blackwood's Bastard and I have a lot of other really, you know, I kept the creme de la creme and, you know, and I had a lot more than I thought.
Dude, I thought you told me you gave me the creme.
No.
Well, that didn't come out right. I thought you gave me the good stuff. No, wait, that didn't come out right either.
You know what? I had a lot more beer than I thought. I don't think you ended up with anything too bad. I know I did give maybe the bottom of first of all, nothing in my cellar was bad. But I always enjoy whenever I am overstocked on stuff and need to get rid of stuff that may have maybe a little old or outdated. I always give it to Pete for his son in college.
College students.
Because college students, they'll drink just about anything. And I know that Matt and Pete Jr. over the years have enjoyed Pete Jr. has an awful lot of liquor from helping me move my cellar. So big shout out to him. And I'd love to have him back on an episode soon. But you got to get him back in the fold. But
I've been working on him. And you know, John,
being able to keep those guys happy with
the next year. Well, you can be sure that the beers you've given me for the starving college students are actually finally getting through to them, because as you might have noticed, I have been losing a lot of weight. So, you know, before that weight loss, I don't know if they actually got through. Yeah, they did.
Well, hey, congratulations on that, and good luck. Keep it up.
Absolutely.
I'm starting to get there, too, trying to do more walking my son to the bus stop every day and stuff. But
Dodger Rattlesnakes.
Staple Old Ale really doesn't help.
Keep up with the Roadrunner.
Yeah. Well, the Coyote's after you. So one last cheers to everybody. Thanks for joining us. The long-awaited Pastry Stout episode will take place next week. We have been holding out for Dugout, who we'll toast to him, too. He's had a business trip to New Orleans and was on a flight tonight, so could not join us for the episode. But
business,
Want him to know we were thinking about him. And actually better be on this episode next week or I'm going to be raging, because we put this off for a while. So look forward to a great episode next week. I think we'll have a great turnout with a lot of beer nuts and a lot of great pastry stouts. So,
yes, sir.
That's about it from Arizona. Anybody else from Michigan or LA want to chime in? Anything, last thoughts, final thoughts?
Let's go. Cheers to Mexico.
Cheers to local beers, everybody. Out there and get
cheers
your local beers.
Beer. Report your local breweries and tip your bartenders and waitresses and servers. So thanks for listening. catch us on at Beer Nuts Podcast on Twitter, Beer Nuts Podcast Facebook page, and Pete will be taking over at Michigan Beer Guy on Twitter, and I will be at Arizona Beer Guy. So, and Greg, you're on Twitter. What's your Twitter?
I believe it's Smitty G76, SMITTYG76.
Pretty simple. Dave, do you have Twitter presence, or?
No, I protest Twitter.
Okay. Fair enough.
Yeah, there's a lot of garbage on Twitter.
When I started on Twitter, I made it a point to keep my personal stuff on Facebook, and my Twitter, all my beer stuff went to Twitter. It was just a way to separate things, so, but now it's kind of all intertwined, but.
Well, Instagram's the next frontier there, JR.
And we are on Instagram. Beer Nuts Podcast on Instagram. So maybe I'll take the initiative to post a couple of these beers from Tombstone tonight. Delicious beers. Thank you, Tombstone Brewery. Look forward to seeing a lot more of you. And we're only about 50 miles north of the Mexican border. So as they say in old Mexico City, AMF.
ChristopherMedia.net.
If you like this show, please tell a friend. Please make sure to rate and comment on all your favorite Christopher Media shows. Please follow us on Twitter and like and share us on Facebook. You can subscribe to all ChristopherMedia.net shows for free on ChristopherMedia.net. Thank you for listening, and thank you for visiting ChristopherMedia.net.
Thank you for visiting ChristopherMedia.net.